and gentlemen, please be outstanding for the arrival of the Mayor, Councillor Bob Turner, Chief Executive Officer, District 12 and 12.
Please stay standing. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people of whom we serve.
Amen.
Mentland City Council acknowledges that land it now occupies has a history that began with the indigenous occupants of Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, elders and descendants, past and present. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Changes to the order of business?
No changes, Mr. Mayor.
Deputations?
We have nil this evening.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor?
I actually have a conflict on 11.15.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 23rd of September 2014 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Do you have a Councillor to second the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, may I just add something I should have got up before Councillor Ramsay stood up? I wasn't here at the last meeting, so I couldn't move it or second it, and I can't vote for it. But I did notice reading through the minutes that Councillor Malik moved and Councillor Dunn seconded the record of assembly of councillors for the 3rd of September. And on that record of assembly, it showed that Councillor Malik's name was listed twice, both that she was present and that she was an apology on the same day. So that might have to be fixed.
Mr. Bean? Julie nodded. Okay. Do you have a councillor? I've had a move and seconded. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare motion carried. Correspondence inwards. Parliamentary department letters received by the Mayor. They're all as in, I'll read a couple of them that are probably more prominent. First one being from Kim Wells MP, Minister for Police and Emergency Services. Thank you for your correspondence, 9th of July 2014. I apologise for the delay in responding. I note your concerns about police resources and the safety in the City of Melton. The Government is committed to making our communities safer so our families can feel safe on our streets, on public transport and in their homes. The Government is providing $602 million to deliver 1,700 extra frontline police members by November 2014. The rest is in the report, if you're happy to read it. Another one I'd like to highlight would be from Damien O'Shea, Assistant Official Secretary to the Governor. We invited the Governor to come to Melton to have an official event, and this is just a response to that. I refer to your letter, 8th of September 2014, addressed to the Governor, Mr. Charles Gerwin, Official Secretary to the Governor, inviting the Governor to visit the City of Melton. The Governor has asked me to respond on his behalf. The Governor has asked me to thank you for your kind offer and advise that he would like to visit the City of Melton. However, due to the constraints of the Governor's diary, up until the end of 2014. Any such visit would not be possible in 2015. My office will be in touch with you early 2015 to discuss a possible visit. And one from Timbuel MLA, voting at council meetings. Thank you for your letter, 5th of August 2014, seeking amendment to the Local Government Act 1989 to prohibit councillors' abstention from voting at council meetings. I advise that regular reviews of provision of Local Government Act 1989 are undertaken by my department for possible legislation reform where appropriate, and input from councillors on matters of concern relating to the Act are always appreciated and, where warranted, considered in conjunction with such reviews. I acknowledge that the Act no longer makes it compulsory for councillors present at council meetings to vote. It does not require a majority of councillors present at a meeting to vote in favour before a motion is passed. It does require. I understand the decision to change the Act was due to it being unenforceable, as there was no penalty for failing to vote. Nevertheless, I share the view expressed in the Department's previous circular that councillors who choose not to vote at the meetings not only undermine the proper exercise of their duties of office, for which local community expects, but can also serve to compromise the role of council in providing governance and leadership through effective decision making. Thank you for bringing your concerns on this issue to my attention. Yours sincerely, Timbuel MLA. Move on to number 8, petitions and joint letters.
Mr. Mayor, can I please move that the parliamentary departmental letters be received by the Mayor, be received and noted?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a Councillor second that?
I'll second that.
Thanks, Councillor Cooley. Does any Councillor oppose? I declare motion carried. 11.1, presentation of staff reports. Oh, I missed that one. Yeah. Well, petition and joint letters, that's where it was.
There are nil, Mr. Mayor.
Resumption of debate or other business carried over from previous meeting?
Nil, Mr. Mayor.
Public question time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This evening we have 5 questions from members of the gallery. First question is submitted by Danny Eaton, as Mr. Eaton is in the gallery. Question reads, regarding the proposed closure to Respite House, may I request information to be provided to myself and the general community as to the reasons or catalyst for the decision to close Melbach, and inquire why, when council has a council plan theme being a well-governed and leading organisation operating with innovation, transparency, accountability and sustainability, that the decisions and reasons are being withheld. Please don't quote confidential matters due to being staff matters, as the staff redundancies are an impact of the initial decision and could have been quite easily separated. What were the grounds or reasons for that initial decision? I refer this question to the Acting General Manager of Community Services, Matthew Wilson.
Thank you. Council has undertaken a review of the Melbach Respite Service and determined to cease to be a provider of the service effective as of the 3rd of February 2015. The review found, amongst a number of things, that the number of individual clients attending the service has reduced by approximately 45% in the past 5 years, and that 28% of clients receiving the service reside outside of the municipality. The review also found that the change in the environment with the National Disability Insurance Scheme and the aged care reform will have a significant impact on council, considering that council is a small provider in a large service sector and the only local government provider of overnight adult respite care in the state. Council determined that the service can be provided effectively from a larger organisation that has superior supports in place, that are specifically required for the delivery of a service of this nature. Council, in making this decision, was very conscious of individual family needs and is working closely with families who require support to find alternate services. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Second question tonight is from Diane Eaton. And yes, Ms. Eaton is in the gallery. The question reads, 2013-14 Council Plan Final Report, theme 3.1.6, states that Melbach House provided 28,330 hours of frail aged respite care per annum, with a 100% client satisfaction. My calculations, based on Council's statement that only 39 persons use Melbach, determined that actual occupation per resident is 9.8 days in any quarter. This is significantly different to the Council statement of around 4 nights per 3-month period. Therefore, how can Council use as an excuse that Melbach use/occupation is decreasing, when from Council's own figures it is evident that the occupation rate is twice the figure being reported, or are the actual numbers of users being misrepresented? From my personal knowledge, we as users are limited to quarterly visits and cannot achieve more respite because it is always full. Again, a response by Matthew Wilson, Acting General Manager, Community Services.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey, and through you, Mr. Mayor. Specific targets relating to service utilisation are outlined in the state and federal government funding agreements pertaining to the Melbach Respite Service. Targets generally relate to the number of respite hours delivered, which Melbach Respite Service has achieved to the satisfaction of the relevant funding bodies. However, it is noted that the total number of hours referenced here is not all related to overnight respite for frail aged residents, and a breakdown of those hours can be provided in writing in response to the question. Achieving these targets has become increasingly difficult as the client base declines. A number of strategies were implemented to address this issue, including increased marketing and offering individual families additional hours of respite during the 2013 to 2014 financial year. Thank you, Mr. Torrey.
Thank you. Third question this evening is from Luke Eaton, and Luke is present in the gallery. As regards the funding equation for Melbach Respite Facility, what is the total cost of operating Melbach? Council report suggests it's of the order of $730,000, and the funding breakdown from DHS and Council, and how has the DHS subsidy changed over the last 5 years? Letters advising respite users of the closure of the service suggest they are being given an update and that Council was very conscious of individual needs. How can we as users be updated and Council has knowledge of our needs when we and many others were not consulted, informed or involved in any decision-making processes or assessments conducted regarding the personal, psychological and emotional impact on the users who represent the most vulnerable of community members? Again, I refer the question to Matthew Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey, and through you, Mr. Mayor. The 2014-15 budgeted expenditure for the Melbach Respite Service is $888,010. The budgeted income is $661,333, and that is inclusive of DHS DSS funding and the fees and charges charged for the service. The DHS and DSS funding combined total is $631,833. And Council funds the difference from its own source revenue. The total government funding has increased over the past 4 years by a total of $76,231. Council appreciates that a difficult decision such as ceasing to provide a service like Melbach Respite Services has impacts on the community members using the service, and is committed to working with the families affected by that decision to explore alternate respite options. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. The next question this evening is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor's in the gallery. Question reads, whilst it is my opinion that Diggers Rest does very well out of Melton, this unfortunately is not the general consensus. Would Council consider developing a series of fact sheets designed to help residents understand Council's achievements and ongoing commitment to Diggers Rest? I'll refer this question to Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager Corporate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tory, and thank you for your question and your vote of confidence in Council's attendance to the community of Diggers Rest, David. Look, in terms of Council promoting its investment in and services into local communities, Council currently has a tool called Near Me on our website, in which residents can enter their address and view surrounding capital works projects, the value of those investments, find sporting grounds, childcare facilities and the like of such services that we provide. This allows for a very personalised experience of people asking the question, what does Council do for me? More broadly, though, the site does contain a huge amount of information on the 120 different services Council provides to its entire community. Council does not currently provide fact sheets for discrete communities such as Diggers Rest, Ainsbury and the like, but we would be more than happy to consider producing such material, promoting the breadth and quality of Council services, infrastructure and investment. Thank you very much for your suggestion. I'm happy to talk to you further about that at a more convenient time. Thank you.
The next question is also from Mr. O'Connor. It reads, the intersection at Welcombe and Comida Road in Diggers Rest has been identified as problematic in peak times. The intersection becomes blocked, forcing traffic to build around the railway crossing. In order to provide some level of relief during peak times, would Council consider making a recommendation to Vic Roads to install keep clear road markings on Comida Road Comida Road at Welcome Road? Refer this question to Michael Tudball, Acting General Manager, Planning and Development, to respond.
Thanks, Mr. Tory, and through you, Mr. Mayor. Diggers Rest Comida Road is actually a council-controlled road, so we don't have to refer to Vic Roads necessarily, but we still do, unfortunately, for this. We do need to meet certain criteria to assess the blockage, and Vic Roads have that criteria, but what we will do is investigate it, report it back to Council, assess it against the Vic Roads criteria, and basically it's how long it's blocked during peak periods, which we think it's probably right. It is the first time it's been raised with us, Mr. Mayor, so that's a good thing. We'll investigate it, and as long as it meets Vic Roads' satisfaction, we can line mark it.
That concludes public questions, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Presentation of staff reports, 11.1.
Mr. Mayor, can I move the following recommendations be accepted as submitted in the report? Procedural motion that the following items be blocked and their recommendations accepted. 11.1, 11.3, 11.9, 11.12 and 11.14. I believe that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a councillor to second the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Medley, thank you very much. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All councillors in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. I declare the motion carried. Staff report 11.2, policy review panel minutes, September 2014. Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council established the Policy Review Panel to review existing Council policy and formulate new policies in new areas identified by Council as requiring appropriate policy consideration. The presentation at tonight's evening and attached as Appendix 1 for Council's consideration of the Policy Review Panel meeting minutes of the 30th of September 2014. Contained within those minutes are a number of items, and I'll just briefly run through those for Council's consideration. The first being the policy in regard to Council resource support and expenses of Councils and Special Committees. The panel is provided with an overview, which is set out in Appendix 1 of the minutes, of a schedule of care fees. These care fees are required to be reviewed on an annual basis as the care charges for providers increase on an annual basis, generally in September of each year. And the panel reviewed what is considered to be the benchmark or the average of two or three providers that would provide for specialist despite care and also standard babysitting services. And it also considered introducing sort of to provide standard fee structure for the childcare centre and respite expense claims during and after business hours, weekends and public holidays. A benchmark exercise was also conducted to determine the fee structure, which has also been aligned with the Department of Health Human Services model. The second part was in regard to Council speech protocol, which Council hasn't sort of formally had previously. It's been sort of a fairly loosely written arrangement. So that's now been formalised, Mr. Mayor, for Council's consideration. And really a lot of it was just a discussion that had happened at a previous policy review panel and had been brought back to this meeting held on the 30th of September to just clarify a couple of final matters. One of those sort of being around the chairperson of a committee to have the speaking opportunity elevated to priority behind the mayor or deputy mayor at designated community events, and also that the mayor being made aware of when a council is representing council at a speaking event. A number of other matters that were presented were in regard to a highway advertising signage policy, which is largely to address a number of significant developers that are placing highway signage along both the Melton Highway and the Western Highway. As there are currently limited controls available, so this has in turn prompted Council to undertake a review of its advertising guidelines and try to provide a certain amount of rigour that is fair and reasonable for the developer who is investing in the signage going up, but also to protect the amenity and health and wellbeing of our residents. The next matter was in regard to a public internet policy, which is intended to mitigate risks inherent with the provision of providing public internet access across Council services and facilities. The relevant officer who presented this explained that a research and benchmarking exercise was undertaken externally and a working group formed internally to provide a fair and reasonable platform for people to have relative uninhibited access to the public internet process. It sort of addressed the complexity of implementing filters on websites and also balancing the needs of free information and access to that of appropriately managed internet to our community. The two final matters that we considered at the meeting in regard to public access internet computer standardisation policy, whereby again the policy primarily relates to the provision of consistent hardware and software standards for public access computers across all council facilities in order to mitigate security, privacy and performance risks. The minimum requirements now include such things such as system restoring itself after each use, authentication of users using the facility, using the machine, antivirus software, control over network connections, and certainly council's access to browse the history that is used on that machine for privacy and security reasons. And finally, Mr. Mayor, the last item that was discussed at that meeting was the council's social media policy. It was brought to the committee by Councillor Magic asking to just explain and outline what our social media responsibilities are as an organisation, and Councillor Magic requested that consideration be made and brought to a future policy review panel meeting for a separate councillor social media policy, which I suppose embraces the concept and the auspices of what is currently the organisation's social media policy, but to also specifically target responsibilities of councillors with a social media post that may have gone in a derogatory or slanderous undertone, and also just clarifying and making more stronger the definitions relating to social media access. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, with the carers and childcare reimbursements, I've read through the policy and I would like to endorse it highly, but can you guarantee me that under no circumstances when a councillor, male or female, be operating for council and attending council duties, they won't be discriminated or disadvantaged as a result of that policy being implemented.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Ramsay, I guess it's hard for me to provide ironclad guarantee that someone won't be discriminated against, but it is not the intention or the undertone of the development of this policy to certainly put any person at disadvantage as far as a council wanting to attend their official duties as a councillor and this organisation ensuring that they have every access to a care provider providing care to their children or their parents, depending on the situation, as far as our policy is concerned.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, thank you for that response. It's all in the interpretation, Mr. Bean. Moving on to the Councillor Speaking Opportunity Protocol. Personally, I don't think Council needs one of these, but if we're going to have it, I think then under page 39, the suspension of protocol, I think we should delete the words "all affected" in the second paragraph. So it reads that they may do so only if councillors agree.
Mr. Bean,
sorry, which number? I've got page 39. Which number are you referring
to? Number 9, suspension of protocol.
Yes.
The second line there, I'd like to move an alternative motion that the words "all affected" be deleted. And whilst I'm up before, sorry, the clarification is, can you give me an example of a ward-specific event?
As distinct from a ward event?
It says here ward-specific event.
A ward-specific event would be if we had a facility open within a specific area. Maybe Moreton Homestead would probably be, so I'm just thinking about in that ward.
See, I deem that to be a municipal event, because council collectively validate that. So I can see possibly the investor group at Diggers Rest having a family fun day, that being a ward specific event, but where council resolved to do a major infrastructure piece, that there is a municipal delegation. And this is why I strongly believe that it's worked to date, that the Mayor has the final say, and I think every councillor at some turn has probably been affected by that decision to have the Mayor make that final call. But as long as a protocol where the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, and then either the ward councillor or the sequence of events or sequential councillors, I mean, that's always been a policy that we've held true to. So I don't see what needs to change.
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Mayor. No one's moved or seconded any motion for this, so if you're wanting to propose any changes as a mover, you can do that.
Well, if it goes further, I'd like to delete those two words. But I still think at the moment there is going to be a lot of dispute over what's a ward event, and I think I would like, and I mean, at points here, we've got the chair of certain committees being uplifted. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the most appropriate person to decide is the mayor, the deputy mayor, and then whoever is the most fitting councillor. There's 7 very professional individuals that have been elected to represent their communities. So at the end of the day, I'm sure we could sort it through amicably.
Councillor Ramsay, you wish to move that with an amendment then? Item number 9. You want to give me the words again, please?
Well, if I'm going to be moving it, I actually prefer not to move it. I prefer not to have one at all. But if as a last resort we have one, then I would like to delete the words "all affected."
Yeah, Councillor Ramsay, you want to move it with the minutes with these words removed. Yeah. I'm just trying to get it right. Does any councillor wish to remove that recommendation? with alternate.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I've still got some questions.
Okay. Does any other council have any further clarification? Councillor Midley.
Just going back to the councillor resource policy. Mr. Mayor, when and why did this council introduce childcare allowance? What was the purpose for it?
Council introduced it is in order to assist councillors in meeting the obligations of being a councillor. And specifically, it was an item within a review of councillor allowances and conditions that was commissioned by the minister quite some years ago, and I can't remember the timing of it, that came out with a report about what was the level of resource support that should be provided to, A, encourage participation, more broad participation in representation on local councils, because one of the key survey findings had been that there were a lot of people who would like to be involved in local government, who, however, had family obligations or other commitments, being either work or whatever, that restricted them from doing so. So it tended to be the majority of representation on local councils tended to be either business owners or retired persons or non-working people. And there came out of that report a series of recommendations. It was the time when council allowances were increased fairly significantly, and one of the key elements to get greater participation, particularly of women in local government, was to provide support in terms of the cost of childcare to enable them to actively participate in local government. So that's a rough background.
Councillor Midley, give us some more questions.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We have the, in the appendix, we have agency fees for in-home care. So that's care for the agent, the carer to come out to the home. Mr. Mayor, what is the reliability or unreliability of a carer agency? And I'm specifically talking about in-home care.
I think
Ms. Comery.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. In relation to service providers, it depends on their capacity that they can provide the services. So in relation to them being able to provide it is depends on what capacity they have in relation to the staffing that they have.
So, Mr. Mayor, sorry, just to follow up. In regards to the agencies, many times they're unreliable and they cancel at the last minute. Does every agency have the ability to send out another carer to fill that sudden cancellation?
Yep. So I suppose the challenging part is that the agencies would be rostering their staff to a client, and there are times when unplanned leave or circumstances occur and the agency could have someone who could go and do the shift, but there are many occasions when they're unable to get the appropriate person to do the shift due to their capacity or the short notice.
Just one more question. In regards to them sending out someone random that has never met, say, a child or an adult, specifically a child with a disability who is non-verbal and can't express or communicate their needs or has a complicated medical schedule, how would that affect the family and the carer and also the child or the adult that, say, is non-verbal and can't express themselves, and also how will that affect the scenario that they're new and they don't know, they've never dealt with this client before?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, that would put a lot of pressure on the family. Families usually have other networks that they use to support them during those times, and often if there isn't another a carer available who's familiar with the person that they're caring for, the families often choose not to use the carer that they have available.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, other networks, you mean like close friends or neighbours or somebody that knows the child with the disability that's non-verbal? So
yep, that's correct.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor. Does any other councillor require any further clarification?
Actually, whilst... Yep.
Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I have a few questions as well. Are expenses reimbursed to councillors shown as part of their allowance as a taxable income on their financial statements that are given to us?
Mr. Bean?
Councillors are provided with a statement of earnings from the council, including all allowances and all expenses.
So all their expenses are put onto that financial statement that we receive that they claimed, just to clarify?
I believe so, but I can't swear on a stack of Bibles. I'd have to review that with the finance department. Certainly, reimbursement of expenses are not taxable, and council allowances are not salaries and wages, and so for PAY tax is not deducted from the payments, as councils would be aware. However, it does form taxable income. So there's a bit of a misconnect or disconnect there, but yeah. So we do provide statements at the end of the financial year to councillors, but I'll have to check.
Councillor Carlin.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. How many mayoral cars have been purchased during this term of council?
Could you please define what you mean by term of council? You mean post the last election?
Since this council's been elected, since 2012, how many mayoral cars have been purchased?
Two.
And are they fully purchased? We don't lease them, we fully purchase them.
No, they're fully purchased, yeah.
Does any other councillor... Councillor Ramsey, you had a few questions.
In the extreme circumstance that an agency can't send a care provider that is known to the family and knows the family routine, would the person that fills those shoes in the interim to allow any counsellor to go and conduct their council duties be able to be reimbursed under this policy?
Yes.
Yes, they would.
Even if it's a friend, neighbour, or a 22-year-old down the street?
Provided they fill out the required Australian Taxation Office form, which I actually have here, entitled Statement by a Supplier, and they're not a family member who lives within the residence, that is correct.
Thank you.
Does any other councillor require? Councillor Ramsey.
No further clarification. If I am to move the report with the minutes attached, not only do I want to delete the words all affected, under for ward specific events, priority order is, right, can we have the brackets determined by the mayor and the CEO collectively?
Is this number 7, Councillor Ramsey?
No, it's under protocol 4 on page 38. For ward specific events, as determined by the mayor and CEO collectively, priority order is.
What do you want to remove?
Effectively, the change is, Mr. Mayor, I believe that the mayor and CEO jointly would determine whether an event is a ward-specific event or not. And in such circumstance of that determination being made, that order would then apply. I think that was the intent.
That was the intent, or that is the intent.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I have just an extra dot point that I wanted to add, and I know, Councillor Ramsay, that you've moved this with that.
Yep.
I wanted to add an extra dot point if Councillor Ramsay would accept it in the recommendations. The council defer only...
Which, where in...
In the recommendation.
In the recommendation, just an extra dot point, okay. So it'll be dot number, number three. That council defer only the resource, support and expenses of councillors and special committee policy until the next ordinary council meeting, and that council officers please prepare and provide a report to council at the next council meeting detailed the following. One, the amount paid to councillors individually for childcare expenses from 2008 till present. Two, which registered agency or private individual provided the service. Three, did they comply with the ATO law by providing a statement by a supplier attached to the councillor's reimbursement form? And four, can the officers also please report whether all claims for reimbursements were paid to any providers without a statement by a supply form, and to which councillors did this apply to, and the amount?
Can I seek clarification, Mr. Mayor?
Councillor Ramsay.
How far back is that to go?
Councillor Ramsay, can you repeat that? I didn't hear that. Sorry,
Mr. Mayor. I was asking how far back did Councillor Carlin want that recommendation to go?
2008 till present. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And Councillor Carlin, do you have that written down?
I have on my notepaper, Mr. Mayor, but I'm more than happy to email it to corporate services.
Councillor Ramsay. Mr. Mayor, to get the detail Councillor Carley's requesting, I would prefer not to have it as part of this report, but to have it as a notice of motion, or have it a motion without notice.
It will be voted on anyway. Yep. Okay. We'll go with the original motion, originally with Councillor Ramsay's changes, and we need to move that first, and correct?
Yes,
and then get a seconder, and then...
Yeah, Councillor Carley can move an amendment to that, which he wishes.
Yep.
Okay.
That's probably the tidiest way to do it. Okay, do I have a mover to the motion, please? Councillor Ramsay's moved with the alterations as stated. And do I have a seconder to the motion,
Mr.
please?
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to accept Councillor Ramsay's alternate suggestions. However, I'm not accepting Councillor...
Well, that's not at this, stage. We're moving the existing motion.
So I'm happy to
with Councillor Ramsay's... changes.
I'm
first.
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
Yep.
We've got a mover and a seconder.
This councillor Carley should move an amendment.
Well, do we need to vote on that?
No.
Councillor Carley, do you wish to move an amendment to the motion?
I do, Mr. Mayor, because I've asked for it to be deferred, and if the councillors are going to move and second that, it goes ahead without even waiting to see what my report findings are going to show this council so we can make an informed decision, then I will oppose that. So I would like to move the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I read out before, I could read it again if you like.
No, that's okay. We'll take it as read. Okay, councillors, I need a seconder for the amended motion. Do you have a councillor to move second the amended motion?
I second that motion.
Okay. So we now debate.
We now debate the amendment up to the original motion.
So Councillor Carley.
Councillor Carley, you have the right to speak.
Mr. Mayor, I'll reserve my right to speak until I hear why my fellow councillors are opposing my amendment.
Councillor Ramsay.
I don't think anyone's opposing your amendment, Councillor Carley. I think we're just asking you to move that quantum motion to a notice with,
without motion, or without notice, or I'm not too sure what category it will fit under if it's dealt with today. I believe effectively that the findings from 2006, I'd say, have always been reported quarterly on the webpage with everything itemised. So there are no findings that will be that the newspapers and everybody hasn't been brought to people's attention. It's there. It's there for the public. I move that motion, actually, that we put the expenses on the webpage, and we do that quarterly, and it's always up there. So I don't know what we're trying to uncover. I just believe that these are ready to go, and if there are some findings that aren't apparent to date, then when your notice of motion is debated in the chamber, they will all unfold. There's nothing to hide.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Marluski, would you wish to say a few words?
As far as I'm concerned, it's just a matter of just seeking clarification, just deferring this until further clarification is set. And that's all I wanted to say about that.
Thank you. Does any other councillor require?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Medlick.
I'm not opposing the motion per se, but I don't think it belongs into this agenda item. I think if Councillor Carley was so interested in getting this information at the right time, she could have brought it up many a times during the policy review. This has come back and forward to Council and to the policy review on a number of times. And I think if she was so interested in the issue at hand, she would have brought that to the policy review and also the Council briefing. I think it is a separate matter that needs to be dealt with separately, because I would like to know the implications of personally disclosing, perhaps it could be personal matters, and I would know what I would like to know what the legal implications are. To just, instead of just accepting them as is, I would like to know what security our carers have in regards to disclosure of their private information as well. Therefore, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to have that as a separate. If Councillor Carley wants to move it as a separate item, I'm happy to do that, but not in this context.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Does any other councillor wish to speak on this matter? Councillor Carley.
Mr. Mayor, firstly, when Councillor Medlick talks about being personal, I mean, we need to be mindful that it is a ratepayer's money that you're speaking about, so they have a right to know where it's going. And Councillor Ramsay, you said 2008 it's on the website, which that's not correct, because I've looked and I can't look back to 2008, so that's not right. Now, Mr. Mayor, I've heard what my fellow councillors have said, if I can move this as a notice of motion or a motion without notice. However, does that mean that Councillor Ramsay, the mover of this recommendation, will defer making a decision on the expenses policy?
If Councillor Ramsay's motion is carried, then that's not the case. Then the policy would be adopted. So it would be the policy.
Sorry, can I seek clarification for 2 seconds? Since about 2006, have the councillors' expenses been going up quarterly? I don't know whether they're still up there, but have they been going up quarterly since that date?
Mr. Beans.
I can't speak for the date that they started, but the expenses do go up quarterly, and I'm not sure whether the council have made it, the staff have made a decision that they take off. I think we only hold a certain amount of years on the webpage.
Oh, thank you. I just thought I was being perceived to be telling untruths.
If I might respond to Councillor Carley's question, if Councillor Maidslick's substantive motion, if Councillor Ramsay's substantive motion proceeded without the amendment, it would have the effect that the policy would be in place immediately and not deferred. That is the short answer.
Very good. Okay, the amendment.
Mr. Mayor, am I able to speak against Councillor Ramsay's motion?
You have a right to speak.
Yep.
So we're still on the amendment.
We're still on the amendment. Lovely.
We're still on your amendment. We'll have to deal with that first.
Yep, which is my amendment. So I'm happy. That's why I asked if I could speak. Mr. Mayor, I'm finding it really difficult to understand why my fellow councillors are not supporting this when we are discussing expenses. So many of my fellow councillors speak of transparency and some even have been quoted in the newspapers. And however, when it comes to it, they're not, councillors don't really practice what they preach. Mr. Mayor, all I've ever requested when it comes to this policy is transparency, and we all know that transparency is the key to good governance. Mr. Mayor, after the 2012 election, certain parts of this policy were changed by councillors who were on these committees, and I will say that when it was brought before this council in 2012, I proudly abstained. And as I believed, in my personal opinion, that it would be open to misuse and abuse, and I believe that this has occurred. And for this, I was openly criticised by a fellow councillor. Fellow councillors should always remember when we talk about expenses, paid or reimbursement, we are talking about our residents' money. And we should always remember, as a first priority, we must always be transparent, honest, responsible, and accountable. Thank you, Ms.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Now we need to deal with your amendment to the motion. All those, yeah, we'll have a mover and a seconder. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. For the amendment, of course. All those against the amendment to the motion, please raise your hands.
I call for a division, please, Mr. Mayor.
Division. Councillor Medlick.
You could get four.
For the amendment, Councillor Carley and Councillor Marluski. Against the amendment, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion lost, amendment lost. So we go back to the original with Councillor Ramsey's changes to the a few points in there. The mover was Councillor Ramsey, the seconder was Councillor Medlick. Does anyone oppose the motion? Okay, we go into debate. Hold on, Councillor Ramsey.
Already?
Your motion.
Thank you. There is nothing non-transparent. There is nothing that isn't to do.
Mr. Antonio, please be silent. Please be silent.
A notice of motion will come up with absolutely everything Councillor Carley wants in it. All she has to do is wait maybe half an hour to be able to present that. There is nothing transparent. Yes, we all understand the expenses, but yes, as clarified there, I do not want anyone to feel discriminated or disadvantaged because they may need to have someone to look after their children, or adults for that matter, whilst conducting council duties. I don't think if you can prove that there's been something fraudulent, and those sort of statements I think are mean-spirited and almost discriminatory in its state, if you can prove that something's been fraudulently happened, by all means, bring it to the table. But if you can't, I'd ask you out of respect to stop using those words.
Andrew, if you don't be quiet, I'll ask you to be removed. Please be quiet and let us finish your business. Councillor Carley.
Right reply first. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I think I've said what I needed to say. I still don't understand why my councillors say that they're transparent and there's nothing to hide, but still they've just blocked basically my amendment. There's nothing further to say, Mr. Mayor. Just very disappointed.
Does any other councillor wish to speak?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I think
Councillor Medlick.
I think this is just an act of grandstanding on behalf of Councillor Carley. It is not that we're opposing.
Please speak to the motion.
It is not that we are opposing her motion. I'm quite happy to accept the motion further down the line. However, there's nothing in that report that will make me change my mind in allowing for a councillor who has a child with a disability to actually be a counsellor who does not have parents or in-laws to have free childcare like other counsellors can, Mr. Mayor, so that information that she's requesting is fine with me. However, I don't think it belongs into this policy because I don't think that decision, that report will have any effect on my decision on this policy.
Thank you, Councillor Mealy. Does any other councillor wish to speak? Okay. Councillor Ramsey, right reply.
I'm sorry you're disappointed. Please wait half an hour and then move it again. When it comes to council expenses, I've never claimed childcare expenses. And today is the anniversary of 13 years on council. I have a disabled child. I also had an elderly grandmother who died at 108, and now I've got a very frail mother at 89. I want to be able to continue my role. Sorry?
Mr. Mayor, this is my closing statement.
Councillor Carley, please let her finish.
Point of order,
you've
Mr.
had
Mayor.
Your chance already. Please.
Sorry. I've called a point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey, point of order.
Please. It's a point of order. Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Councillor Ramsey.
I'm listening to Councillor Malik and Councillor Ramsey speak about their disabled children. Not once have I mentioned that, and I just want to make that clear. I've not mentioned that. And the way that you're speaking, you're implying that that's basically what I'm doing. That's how I take that. So I just want to make that clear for the record.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Can
I finish? At the end of the day, I would like to know that over the next 2 years during this term, I can still continue to do my council duties as I have for the last 13 years and still, and if needed, be able to have someone I feel I trust and I feel safe with to look after my baby and my mum. And if that be the case, then I think if we don't discriminate or disadvantage women or men running for council, then I think the policy is a good one. As for the remuneration, what's happened since 2008, move your motion by all means.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillors, time to vote for the amendments that Councillor Ramsey has put on to the original motion. Okay. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against the motion, please raise your hand.
I'd like to ask for a division, Mr. Mayor.
Division called. Councillor Medlick, Councillor Filiari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner. Those against the motion, Councillor Carley, Councillor Madaluski. I declare the motion carried. Item 11.4, Disability Advisory Committee. Mr. Wilson, you got this one?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, the purpose of this report is to present the minutes of the Disability Advisory Committee meeting held on the 2nd of October 2014. The Disability Advisory Committee has been established to provide advice to Council on issues and barriers that affect people with a disability living, working, recreating or studying in the City of Melton. Membership of the committee is drawn from people with a disability, carers of people with a disability and community service providers who have a significant role in delivering services and responding to local disability priorities. The Disability Advisory Committee minutes of the 2nd of October 2014 meeting are attached to this report as an appendix. It meets bi-monthly to consider matters in relation to the needs of people with a disability and to raise advocacy issues for Council to consider. The meeting on the 2nd of October 2014 addressed the following. Progress of the Care Melton Expo. Update on the reprint of a guide to disability and age services in the City of Melton. Success of the Melton Go Arty Respite Program. An update on Mambra and Melton's new supported employment facility and discussion in relation to an invitation to attend the Victorian Disability Advisory Committee Joint Western Region meeting. The recommendation is that the Council note the unconfirmed minutes of the Disadvisory Committee meeting held on the 2nd of October 2014. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Does any councillor require any further clarification?
Yes, I have a question.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question. I've had some members from our community contact me just in regards to the community representative positions and the two representatives that are on this committee. Do they have children with disabilities, or do they belong to an organisation that's providing services to our residents in our community?